माता भजन्ते माम्। अहम्
आय
सर्वं प्रवर्तते अहम् आय सर्वस्य अवाव तवा द सोर्स ऑफ जनरेशन मता ब्रह्मी सर्वं एवरीथिंग प्रवर्तते एमिनेट्स इति दस मत्वा नोइंग भजन्ते बिकम डिवोटेड माम अंटू मी बुद्धा द लर्नेड Bhava Samanvita with great attention. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Purport. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything, both in the material and spiritual worlds, and because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all their demigods. In the Atharva Veda Gopala Tampati Upanishad 1.24, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yovai Vedams Cha Gopayanti Sma Krishna. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge, and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, in the Narayana Upanishad 1 it says, Ato purusho havai narayano kama yota praja shajayati. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayana brahma jayante, Narayana prajapati prajayate, Narayanad Indro Jayate, Narayanad Ashto Vasavo Jayante, Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante, Narayanad Dvadasha Ditya. From Narayan Brahma is born, and from Narayan the patriarchs are also born, from Narayan Indra is born, from Narayan the 8 Vasus are born, and from Narayan the 11 Rudras are born, from Narayan the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putra, the son of Devaki Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Narayana Upanishad 4. Then it is said, Ekavai Narayana Asin, Na Brahmana Ishano Napo Nagni Samo Neme Devai Apritvi Na Nakshratani Na Suryaha. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality of Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, and no sun. Maha Upanishad 1. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatim no charujam chapyaham me shajami vai tahimam no vajanito mama maya vimohito. The patriarchs, Shiva and others, are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me, because they are deluded by my illusory energy. We're in the same boat. It's a fact. In the Varaha Purana, it is also said, Narayana paro devas tasmad jatas chaturmukha tasmad rudo bhayad deva satcha sarva gyatam gataha. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from Him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and He is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of Me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under Me. No one is above Me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way, from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations in Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Om jnana timurandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuru militam yena tasmai shi gurave nama. This is very nice how Prabhupada is instructing. With determination and firmness. This is the mood. We have to be determined, we have to be firm. Firm means unflinching. It's like they have the famous guards at Buckingham Palace in London. They do not flinch. You can try to make them, you know, do so many things. Haribo. Or, you know, do so many things. They just stand there unflinching. You see. So the devotee is even more unflinching. That's just external. In their mind there's so much garbage. But devotee, in his mind, he's completely unflinching. He's totally fixed in pure bhakti. That is devotee. The real meaning of devotee means he's completely fixed in pure bhakti. He's as a lamp in a windless place, does not waver. His mind is totally firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. In all times, all places, and all circumstances. That is Krishna consciousness. When we come to that state of absolute total fixity, guess what? It's nectar. It's unlimited nectar, actually. It's absolutely, every moment is like a delicious gulab jamun. Just imagine a gulab jamun, the ultimate gulab jamun, that you just go on relishing forever, and every, it's just oozing with unlimited nectarian juice, and it just gets, the more you chew it, the sweeter it gets, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, you see. A person who is absorbed in pure devotional service, the whole reality is like a big gulab jamun. Even the material world for him is like a gulab jamun. Because he sees everything in relation with Krishna. So it's really worth it to learn how to become pure devotees. Right now we're just a bunch of struggling neophytes. Our mind is dancing here and there, looping the loop around the Milky Way and coming back this way and going there. So we really have to learn how to get fixed, because it's worth it. I mean, how fixed do you have to be to graduate from medical school? I mean, it's pretty intense. So we have to be even more intensely fixed in becoming pure devotees. That's what this is all about. What is the name of our movement? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Why is it named that way? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to become Krishna conscious. And in Atlanta, one of our godbrothers asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? He was heading a book distribution party, so he was thinking, well, Prabhupada will say book distribution, and he can think, yes, I am pleasing Prabhupada the most because I am a book distributing devotee. So I can think, yes, I am pleasing Prabhupada the most. You could see that was his movement. He asked the question. And Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna, that's what pleases me the most. You see, that's really what it all boils down to in the end. Do you love Krishna? Have you actually revived that dormant love for Krishna? And someone may ask, well, why should I love Krishna? I mean, I love my wife, I love my dog, I love my kids, I love my job, I love my income, I love my house, I love my car, I love my country. Why, isn't that enough? I'm such a good husband, a good father, a good mother, you know, a good citizen. Isn't that enough? Why do you bring Krishna? I thought Krishna was mythological anyway. Why are you bringing in Krishna? Someone may ask such a question. Well, Krishna doesn't agree with their viewpoint, obviously. Krishna is saying that actually I'm the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. I was preaching last year in Helsinki at one school, and I asked the students, I said, why do you exist? And one little, it was a, like 7th graders or something, no, 13-year-old, 12, something like that. A boy said, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby, therefore I exist. That's the material conception. There's no conception of the spiritual being, the Atma, which sits inside the body. Such a civilization which teaches the children to think that I exist because my mother and father wanted to have a baby is a demoniac civilization. They are killing the soul. They are called Atmahana, killers of the soul. And that's the culture we're growing up in right now. We're living in a soul-killing... A boy said, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby, therefore I exist. That's the material conception. There's no conception of the spiritual being, the Atma, which sits inside the body. Such a civilization which teaches the children to think that I exist because my mother and father wanted to have a baby is a demoniac civilization. They are killing the soul. They are called Atmahana, killers of the soul. And that's the culture we're growing up in right now. We're living in a soul-killing culture. And you wonder, that's why we're having a hard time becoming pure devotees, because we've been so conditioned by a soul-killing culture. This is why Prabhupada has established a Krishna-conscious culture. This is of the utmost importance, this Krishna consciousness movement. This is not just some, you know, a place to come and worship on Sunday or on Thursday night or whatever. This is a cultural revolution meant to educate the entire world. And this is universal. I just came back from a tour of Europe. We decided to take a little foray into the Muslim world and see what we could do there. And it was absolutely amazing. We had a whole hall full of Muslims chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. They were in bliss. A whole hall full of Muslims. So we're seeing this is not just some, you know, academic principle that Krishna consciousness is universal. We saw it live and in full technicolor, in stereophonic sound. We see that this is the universal science of the soul. And why is it the universal science of the soul? Krishna answers right here. Aham sarvasya bhavam, mataksa sarvam pravartate. This I here is not the impersonal Brahman speaking. This is a person. Just like you're a person, aren't you? Are you a person? Yes, you're a person. I'm glad you agree. Krishna is a person, just like you're a person. Or you're a person, just like Krishna is a person. Is the more proper way to say it. Because we exist because Krishna is emanating us from himself. That's what he's saying. We sometimes say that God created as if it was something that happened in the past. That's to understand the relationship. But the actual reality is God is eternally manifesting us from himself. Because there was never a time that we did not exist. It's not that we were non-existent and then God created us, you know, at some point in the past. This didn't happen that way. Krishna confirms in chapter 2 that we are eternal. So if we're eternal, how can we say that God created us? Well, because God is creating us at every minute. He's manifesting us or emanating us, as confirmed in this verse. He is emanating us from Himself at every minute. In fact, did you know that you exist right now at this very second because Krishna is emanating you from Himself right now? If He wasn't emanating you, you wouldn't even exist. You exist at this very minute because Krishna is emanating you. And you may say, well, why is He doing that? That could be the next question. I mean, why am I here anyway? Why is He doing this to me? Well, it's a very simple thing to understand. Krishna, Prabhupada explains that you can understand the ocean by one drop. So, even by studying our own nature, we can understand about Krishna. What gives our life meaning is loving relationships. That's the thing. Everyone's looking for love. Loving relationships. You see? So, as Chanakya Pandit says, the home without children is a desert. Because home life means to expand the loving relationships. So Krishna, He is in that line of thinking. He wants to have the relationships. Many relationships. In fact, because Krishna has unlimited ability to reciprocate love, He manifests from Himself unlimited numbers of living entities to have loving relationship with each one of them and enjoy unlimitedly these loving relationships with these infinite number of living entities. So that's why Krishna is emanating us from Himself right now. He wants to enjoy a loving relationship with you and me. That's why we're here. That's why we're existent as atmas, spiritual beings. Krishna wants to have that reciprocation of pure love with us at every minute. So that's why if we don't give our love to Krishna, if we repose it in the material nature, we're actually just virtually cutting our own throat. You see? Because we're it's like a fish out of the water. If you were a fish, would you like to be washed up on the beach, flapping in agony, suffocating? No. If you're a fish and you got caught up in the water, you're just praying that someone will come and pick you up and throw you back in. You see? That is called spiritual master. Spiritual master comes, and as Prabhupada came, to save us from our washed up position on the beach of this material existence. Spiritual master very kindly picks up the disciple and throws him back in the water. Back into the just like here, Dhanavam Maharaj is picking you all up and he's throwing you into the ocean of Krishna consciousness, His kindness, His mercy upon you. So this is how we become fixed in Krishna consciousness. We get the association of a bona fide spiritual master and he puts us back into our constitutional position. He kindly engages us in our constitutional identity as spiritual beings, part and parcel of Krishna, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Right now we're identifying with this material body, which is asat, achit, and nirananda. It's temporary, it's ignorant, and it's miserable. How do you think you can be happy identifying with this material body? Is it possible? We try really hard. I mean, the billboards and the magazines and the newspapers and the movies, everyone tells us, you just play it right, you know, play your cards right, you can really enjoy this body. Don't they tell us that? All the, you know, the ads and all the billboards and the movies and everyone. Yeah, you just got to play your cards right. Then you can really enjoy. You can enjoy like anything. Go for it. That's what we're being told. That's what we're being taught. It's simply bogus propaganda. Mark my words. It is simply bogus propaganda. You cannot enjoy because it is not enjoyable. Actually, it is not enjoyable. We try. The only real enjoyment we have here is the thought that in the future we'll enjoy. Right now I'm suffering, but in the future I will enjoy. Well, of course, many people are convinced, especially in America, many people are convinced they're enjoying like anything because they look at everybody else in the world and they think, well, I must be enjoying because everybody else doesn't have it as good as I do. So in America, it's a very common conception in the developed countries. You think, yes, I'm really enjoying. I have so many things that so many other people don't have, so I must be really enjoying. I'm happy. I'm really happy. But are they happy all the time? Is there anybody who can say that they never were unhappy? See, all, therefore, even our happiness is not pure. It's an impure state. Wouldn't you like to have a happiness which can't be interrupted by anything? Wouldn't you prefer that? To have a happiness that can never be taken away by anything else? Wouldn't that be a better thing? Don't you think? See, that is Krishna consciousness. The difficulty is we are so attached to our so-called happiness that we don't want to give it up. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you $1 million right now, would that make your day? $1 million, cashier's check to you. Would you be happy tonight? If you went home with $1 million, cashier's check, you could retire, no problem. Wouldn't that make your day? Wow, $1 million. Can retire. I said, okay, now give it back. I canceled it. It wasn't a cashier's check, it was just a bank check, and I canceled it. You'd be disappointed. I said, wait, but I'll tell you what. I canceled it, but now I have an actual cashier's check, which I cannot cancel, for $1 trillion, and I'm giving you that instead. Is that all right? You see, no one will object. $1 trillion? Well, I can make other people millionaires whenever I want. If I have $1 trillion, I can bestow millionaireship, millionairehood on anyone I want. See, I can give $1 million to Dhanavir Maharaj. I can give $1 million here. I can give $1 million there. You see. So $1 trillion would be much nicer. So you would have no trouble giving it, and you would not be at all disappointed to give $1 million in exchange for $1 trillion, you see. So your material happiness, that is the $1 million. That is your $1 million. In this Krishna Bhakti, it is that $1 trillion. If you have Krishna consciousness, you're not lacking in anything, and I'll prove it to you. I'm talking about pure devotional service. It's explained by the acharyas that when you become completely surrendered to Krishna, that Krishna becomes your personal property. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that actually he owns everything. So just think of that. If that person who owns everything is your personal property, then can you ever have any problems or difficulties ever? In any way, the one who controls the whole universe, who owns everything, if he's your personal property, you have no problems. So the point is, all you have to do is achieve pure devotional service to Krishna, and then all the problems are solved automatically. There's no other problems. So we should just get off this stubborn platform of hanging on to material sense enjoyment and come to pure devotional service. This is intelligence. This is intelligent. This is actual intelligence. Not a PhD. As Prabhupada said, stands for plow department. Yeah. Let's get some proper utilization of the PhD. Send them to the plow department. You know, grow some corn. Go out and plow the land. But this Krishna consciousness movement, we are giving the real education. Actually, this society founded by Srila Prabhupada, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is the leading educational institution in the entire universe. Note I said universe, not only this planet. This is the leading educational institution in the entire universe, actually. Why? Because Prabhupada has special shakti to enlighten people who read his books. There's a special shakti that Krishna has given to Srila Prabhupada, that anyone who reads these books, their lives become transformed. Even one word, sooner or later the seed is planted and their life will be transformed. So this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, there is nothing like it. It is not blind faith. We can establish everything based on logic and confirm in the scripture. Everything is here. This is not some blind faith dogma. This is a science. It's an actual science. It's verifiable scientifically by your own experience. One of my E students is saying, well, you know, you're saying that this is scientific, but, you know, you can't really establish it scientifically. But that's not true. That's not a fact. Because as scientists, they want to confirm everything with their senses, right? What they can see, what they can hear. In the bhakti science, we reach the point where we can directly perceive Krishna. Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Of course, I'm far from it, but I'm always praying for the mercy I can get there. But that the point is that Krishna consciousness will take us to that point where we can directly perceive Krishna. We'll be able to see him, hear him, touch him, smell his fragrance, the lotus fragrance emanating from his body, everything. We'll be able to experience him with all of our senses. See? We'll be able to verify with our own purified senses and absolutely verify the absolute position of Lord Shri Krishna, because we will personally experience him. And you say, well, that's not scientific because, you know, I haven't experienced it. But wait a minute. It's accepted as a scientific truth in this world that the sun is 93 million miles away. So how many people have actually done the measurement? Maybe one small group of scientists did the measurements and everybody else just accepts it. Say, okay, it's scientifically true that everyone has, you know, everyone who's studied those science, say, yeah, it's 93 million miles. Of course, they may have changed the number, but the point is the same. Everyone will say, yes, this is a scientific truth, even though they didn't measure it. So they're taking it on the authority of those persons who did measure it, that it's 93 million miles. So in the same way, we take on the authority of those persons who have directly experienced Krishna, that Krishna is a scientific reality. We take it on their authority. Srila Prabhupada, here you have the great authorities. This is the most wonderful temple room in the whole world. We've traveled to many temples around the world. I've never seen the whole disciplic succession. This is very special here at Rupa Nuga Vedic College. So these are the great scientists. They are all directly perceiving Krishna at every minute. And they are showing us the way that we can also directly perceive Krishna. So what could be more wonderful than this? I think we end promptly at 8:20, don't we?
We can make a donation for the program.
A little bit extra for questions?
Whatever you need.
All right. Thank you. I don't want to step out of line, but I appreciate it. The line is a little bit flexible too. So, are there any questions? Yeah, okay, good. So nice to be back here. This is one of my homes, and spent that winter time here in 2003. I remember. Few of you were here. Then. Few faces I remember. And you were coming then. I remember. You were coming. And then you were here. And then Ryan was here. You were here then. I remember you were coming that time to the Sunday program. Remember you. I remember this gentleman, this nice gentleman, he was coming to, you were coming, I remember you from that time, 2003. Okay, so what are the, any questions?
This is a good question. You're mentioning that ISKCON is the number one organization in the universe. You're mentioning that ISKCON.
Yeah, this is the highest knowledge in the whole universe, that's right.
I think you said organization. Now, I'm sure there's 300 million planets in this universe, so it must be other Marjolotis or other planets, or this person similar to Prabhupada, you know, this kind of organization. We can't really say that ours is superior to others unless ours is the only one in the universe, right?
Yeah, the acoustics are a little hard for me here. There are certainly great enlightened teachers out there, there's no doubt. But the fact is that Prabhupada does have a very special Shakti. Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the universe. That doesn't mean just of this planet. Jagat Guru means spiritual master of the whole universe. Prabhupada has the Shakti to deliver the entire universe. And I can guarantee you that the intelligent souls out there on other planets, they're definitely taking advantage of Prabhupada's mercy. They're not fools like we are. They were not taking full advantage of Prabhupada's mercy. Throughout the universe, great personalities who are realizing who Prabhupada is and what a great person who came and blessed this universe, they're taking advantage of his mercy, there's no doubt. Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe, Prabhupada.
But if they're like yoginas or miles away, how do they perceive it from this point? Like,
how can they perceive? How is it possible for
them to receive it? How can they receive it?
They receive it?
How can they?
Oh, they have the power to. The demigods have the power to see everything. Not only Krishna can see, but the demigods also see. Brahma has head, so he can see what's going on in all four directions. Brahmaji can see everything that's going. He knows what you're thinking also. Better clean up your thoughts. Yeah, the demigods have the power to see everything that's going on. So we have to... when they see that we're sincerely trying to serve Prabhupada, they'll be very happy with us. They help us, actually, facilitate it. Questions? Maharaj?
You assured us that there's really no happiness in the material world, even though there's a lot of advertising.
Yeah.
That people can have.
Actual Ananda does not exist yet. That's right.
I was thinking, what if a person has just won the Academy Award for the best actor and is getting this award, and the whole audience is applauding, and he knows that this is being broadcast on all the television shows, and this is going to make him millions and millions of dollars and famous. His name will be in all the books for a long time. Don't you think he feels some kind of happiness at that time?
Oh, yes, he definitely feels happy. There's no doubt about it. I accept that there is, it is called, there is sukha dukkha in this material world. We never say there is no material happiness. What we say is your happiness is not pure. Because how long will you feel that happiness you got that evening when you won the Academy Award, you got all this money, you got all this praise, but next year it turns out you got terminal cancer. You see? We accept there is happiness. The happiness is there, we absolutely accept that. But that happiness is always being restricted. But my dear sir, you do not like restrictions on your happiness. So we will show you a type of happiness that has no restrictions if you are ready to listen and learn from us. We will show you a happiness that is so intense, that is so wonderful. It's like winning 10 million Academy Awards at every second. You see? You may win the Academy Award at some concocted thing, but when Krishna gives you his Academy Award, then you know what his Academy Award. You see? So you do not know what is it, my dear sir. You're thinking your Academy Award is very nice, and I agree it is very nice, but when you've experienced the real Academy Award, which is given by Krishna, then you know what is the real Academy Award. Are you ready to try to win that award? We will prepare you to win that award, my dear sir, if you are prepared. If you like Academy Award winning, then we will teach you how to win unlimited Academy Awards at every second for all of eternity. If you would like to learn, we will teach you. Are you prepared, my dear sir, to learn?
It sounds a bit intimidating, so much pleasure, maybe an overload for my system.
Sounds like it. I really couldn't handle that much enjoyment. Better I have it mixed with some suffering, so it's something within my capacity. Yes, then this material world is for you, my dear sir. If you like to have some suffering, you don't feel like you really like to enjoy unlimitedly, then yes, this material world is a suitable place for you. That's a fit. We will let you continue in this way, and you can have your happiness and your suffering, and your happiness and your suffering, birth after birth, my dear sir. But I am of a different nature. I don't like to suffer at all. I want unlimited happiness, and I found the way to get it. So, whenever you get tired of your mixed program, and you want just pure happiness, you can call me, 1-800 Hare Krishna. And I'll tell you this, I'll train you up how to become unlimitedly joyful when you're ready for it. Until then, all happiness to you as much as you can handle. But when you're ready for more, we're ready to give it to you, my dear sir. Is that all right? Question back here. Microphone. Gimme. Gimme, Lord. Gimme, Lord. Gimme, Lord. Gimme, gimme. No one asks for unhappiness. I've never heard anyone go to the doctor and say, "My dear doctor, give me I want diphtheria, or, you know, give me cancer. I'm too happy, you know. Give me malaria. Come on, mosquito. Bite me. Give me malaria." I mean, is that really happening out there? You met somebody who's... There are a few weirdos out there, masochists, you know. Beat me with chains. But, you know, there's always a limit to actually, everybody really wants the bliss. Everyone's looking for nectar. That's a fact. So instead of sukham, this material existence, we have susukham. That is spiritual happiness. So let's just make sure here. Let's make sure I'm not just going off into some mistaken cloud of illusion. Does anybody here like to have suffering? Let's see a show of hands. How many people want to have suffering? Because, you know, they want some suffering to respond. Too much enjoyment would be like disturbing, and they want to have some suffering to kind of keep it in check. Who would like some suffering? You would like some suffering? Okay. All right. He would like some suffering to keep his happiness from getting too out of hand. All right.
The point I believe is that unless you experience suffering, you kind of should know what happens.
Unless you experience suffering, you cannot know what is happening. Now let me ask you, have you experienced suffering? All right. So, even if what you're saying is true, for the sake of argument, we assume that what you said is true. Then you've experienced suffering now, so okay, now we'll teach you how to become happy by surrendering to Krishna. You see? Okay, so So what's the problem? You've had your misery now. So now we'll teach you how to enjoy. Is that all right? Okay. Any other questions? Any other challenges here? We're prepared to take on all challenges. You can find some fallacy in our philosophy. Actually, if you can defeat me, I'll become your disciple. That's a promise. Question? What about America?
God bless America.
Crime?
God bless America. You said in the lecture that Americans are seeing that other countries, other people are suffering.
That's right.
But we see that if they are suffering, then why they are asking God bless America? Why they don't say that?
They feel so proud that yes, we're so God conscious, we say God bless America. But actually it's just nationalism is all it is. Pious nationalism. If you're really God conscious, you'll say, may God bless all living entities. That is God conscious. God bless America. It's just simply pious nationalism, that's all. Pious selfishness. God bless the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the football team?
Yeah.
They say that, huh? Yes. This is just pious demons. The demons are a little bit of touch of piety. That's a, you know, little, they put a little pious icing in the demoniac cake to gloss it over. Yeah. Why they don't ask blessing for everyone?
Yeah, for the suffering people. If they see that people are suffering, then why they don't ask?
It's a very simple answer to your question, because they're fools. They don't realize that if you take the mood of pure devotion, which is Prabhupada describes, Vahir Nisinga Hridray Nisinga, he gives a purport, or you can say an extended translation of this. Vahir Nisinga Hridray Nisinga. He translates like this, may Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities. May my mind become clean and may I be able to bring peace to the entire world. The devotee is praying that he can give Krishna consciousness to everyone, and he's begging Lord Nrisimhadev for the empowerment that he can give Krishna consciousness to all living beings. You see, this is actually where the nectar is. When you come to this position of pure devotion, and then this is our highest self-interest, to come to the position of pure bhakti, because then we enjoy unlimited happiness. And if you like suffering, then you get suffering that increases your happiness, like the gopis. You see, they, in the spiritual world, there was someone is arguing, well, I got to have happy suffering. Well, the gopis are getting it. See? Krishna leaves their company and they are plunged into the most unimaginable intense suffering that anyone could ever experience without dying. But that's all that suffering does, is it simply increases the bliss. It just amps up the nectar. Externally they're suffering, but internally the ecstasy of their Krishna bhakti just magnified 10 billion times in the anguish of separation from Krishna. So actually the devotees are very happy to, in their unhappiness, their happiness increases. In the spiritual world we see this. When they're unhappy, they're unhappy. Their happiness, in the spiritual world, everything is absolute. Happiness is absolute, and suffering is absolute. Absolute nectar. The gopis can be suffering more intense anguish than anyone ever has suffered, and it's the sweetest nectar actually within their hearts, because they've totally conquered and captured Krishna. You see, Krishna is completely conquered by the gopis' love. Yeah.
Yes, I just want to kind of confirm and kind of point out that, you know, we know the senses are limited. And mundane happiness is the senses, you know, seeing, hearing, tasting, that's what their happiness is. And, you know, the eyes don't see so far, your taste buds aren't so strong, they can be burned on hot food. And
right.
It's limited.
So limited, always limited.
There's no limits, you know.
Spiritual world, there's no limit, that's right. You can attend a love feast where you go on eating forever and you never get fat and every bite becomes more delicious. In the spiritual world, everything is unlimited. You can have an unlimited, you can sit with Krishna and the cowherd boys and eternally you just enjoy what Mother just said of, you know, you can ask Krishna to give you something of what Mother just said of gave him. And it can become unlimited. There's no limit. So the spiritual world is beyond our conception. The only way to really know is to go. Check it out. Develop pure bhakti. That's your ticket. Get a ticket to the Goloka Vrindavan. Become a pure devotee. You get a ticket. Back to home, back to Godhead.
Yes.
If you go to Vrindavan in Mayapur as a pilgrim and not as a tourist, actually it is stated that the guru is the revealer of the Dham. So you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, complete shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, because only through the medium of guru can you actually experience Vrindavan in Mayapur. Narottam Das prays, he says, when will my mind become, he said, Shuddha Habe Manashi Vrindavan. You see, he's saying when my heart becomes actually pure, then I can enter into Vrindavan. Shuddha Manna. So without that purified mind, by taking shelter of Guru, you can buy one ticket and you can hop a cab from the Delhi airport, but you will be in the shadow of Vrindavan only. You will not actually enter Vrindavan. You can only enter Vrindavan by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And by his grace, then you can actually get some taste according to your degree of purity, what is actual Vrindavan. Questions more? Jai, looks like we run out of questions, so it means it's time, the milk is getting cold. We go too long, so we should take hot milk. So we will stop here, and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.